So this is September 13th this year, 2016.
Bob Dylan told this story just a few years ago that a Hell's Angel biker died in a car accident around bike accident around 1961, and his name was Robert Zimmerman, Dylan's original name, and he decided that that was him. And the interviewer for the magazine was, you know, dumbfounded. What is Dylan talking about? And this was after Ian showed up. So Dylan had this weird scenario that he had died because he was this other person. It may be another twist in the story, but where did Dylan get that idea from?
Fallen Angels.
So Fallen Angels told him to think that way for himself?
No. Fallen Angels came later, but he's in Fallen Angels.
Is that a play?
Then it would explain it.
Oh, okay. So it is...
Okay, now let's stop. Wait, we got this. We're saying that the album, Fallen Angels, explains where Dylan, Mr. Zimmerman, got this from. Young at heart. Maybe you'll be there. Polka dots and moonbeams all the way. Skylark, nevertheless, all or nothing at all. On a little street in Singapore, very key, if it had to be you, melancholy mood, that old black magic, and come rain or shine. Those list out exactly what's happened or what is, and it's exactly when he knew it was not he, but it was not he, him.
Right, Deb, that is his, looks like his latest album, released May 20th, 2016.
Okay. But those songs explain how he figured out that it was him that did.
Was he influenced by listening to Ion?
Yeah. Well, see, you got yes, but he knew this because the Robert Allen Zimmerman is a different one than even this one is. So you have to be very careful because it's a slip. It's a slip.
Right. So. So the one that's saying this is not the one who died.
He was born on May the 20th, 1941, not May 24th.
Ah, the one talking today.
Correct.
And the
and
one
the
who died
birth certificate shows that.
Beg your pardon?
And the one who died, and the birth certificate will show that. But the one that was born, the one that you're talking about, was the May 24th, 1941.
That would be the one who died in the... He was a biker
that's
with
correct.
The Hells Angels.
That's correct.
Right. So that would be another one of themselves that went in a different path.
Yeah, one was all about Sarah Dillon.
Right. Well, that... he doesn't meet her till 64, 65. So the one who...
So that's from George Harrison, then. That's the connection of George Harrison.
To the one that died?
Yes.
Right. What kind of incident, and this, to me, it doesn't make sense, really, but it's not going to make sense. It's actually true that he died, but he doesn't say in his interviews, I'm still here, even though I died. I don't think he says, I'm another Dylan. So he's, I don't know what, well, it's not quite clear how he says it, but you're
well,
saying...
Well, it is clear. It is clear. The song is Death is Not the End. That's what he said.
Yeah, Death's Not the End. How did he figure this out about himself? What prompted him to discover
it? Listen to you. Listen to you.
Listen to you?
You.
Yeah.
Seek alien.
Right. Listening to Ion.
And the proof is in listening to the song The Lonesome Death of Hattie Carroll.
Yeah, well, that was done way back then in 61. So one dies in 61, and then there's another one that's happening same time, not affected by it, and goes on to become...
That's right.
Yeah, right. So is this... the IM once said that he was helped by influential people somewhere, not necessarily the 418 group, but the Illuminati, the elite. They invested.
Careful. In him. You need to watch your words. Be very specific. And you need to watch your words, because your stray sloppiness is going to cause misrepresentation. But it's fine, because it confuses the shit out of all of them, including yourself. But that's not the point. Be aware of what you're saying. If you're quoting what we say, just be aware of what you're saying. So be clear. Who gave money to the Dylan Stir?
To the Dylan what? Dylan Stir?
Stir. Dylan Stir, yeah.
That's like saying hipster.
That's like saying Hebrew guy.
I would say it was the first producer, John Hammond.
Okay, very good. But now carry on, because we're just saying that you being stray. So if you're straying, it's a problem.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to figure out a term for the... We would call it the financial elite, the Illuminati elite back then in 2010 or so. I might not call them that now. But John Hammond came from a wealthy family, I think an old family, and he was influential with a lot of recording stars in the 20th century.
More than you know.
Yeah, so now I know... So now I know. Is that what you just said? I missed it.
Yeah,
so through him. But was he told by other families? Well, I don't know what you call this elite. These are people that...
Don't talk about those elite. That's the point. We're saying don't. Because you're going to make an inference. And then when you make an inference, you're going to lead someone and say, well, Ion said that it was blah, 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 blah. And it very well may be blah, 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 blah. But that's not what we're trying to convey. We're not trying to make you smart so you can tell somebody else something, because they'll misconstrue it and it'll become a mess and it'll be linked back to you.
All right. So there was, are these people, they knew the future, they knew he'd be successful. That's why they invested in him. They had that foresight.
Well, we're waiting to see if he's going to be successful. We hope so. We'll let you know how it works out.
Well, he's successful in the average, whatever you call people who...
No, it's becoming. It's just becoming.
Yeah. Well, he's considered the greatest American poet and things like that.
He's no Eddie Vedder.
Yeah, that's Axl Roadland or something.
Pearl Jam, Bob.
Say he's not any Eddie Vedder, that means he's better than Eddie Vedder, or Eddie Vedder's better than him?
Eddie Vedder's better.
Oh, okay. So Dylan had this support because somebody saw his talent, or they wanted to invest in some figure that would become an archetype. You know.
Well, did he want to be a Bruce Springsteen? Well, he didn't have that capacity. Did he want to be a Jimmy Buffett? No. Did he want to be a Phil Collins? No. He wanted to be him. And as far as the pecking order, it puts him back into the soup. And what you're trying to say is, who helped him get to the soup? There's no doubt that you come down this list of folks that are up and down, over and under, and all that kind of crap. That's not the conversation. It's how he hit the level that he is. One's about 80 million, the other one's an extra 180 million. And you got different people in between those that apply.
Are you talking about level of income?
No, money.
Well, that's income, money, level
no,
of money.
You don't have income, you have money. How much money do you have? That's not your income.
All right, right. Okay, so he has 80
just
to 100
to be clear,
million.
It is what, no, in one conversation, he's worth $80 million. In another conversation, the one that applies to what you're talking about, it's $180 million. And that's the difference. And that's what we're saying is the difference. And you're saying, well, there's no difference. There's only a one number difference between 80 million and 180 million. We're going, yeah, but there is a little difference. It is a little bit different than that. That's what we're saying.
Why? And we're talking about the one, only one Dylan. Not
that.
Yeah,
correct.
One Dylan.
The only one
you didn't die.
The one that didn't die.
Yeah. And from what level or what reasoning is he 80 million and then another reasoning he's 180 million? What makes the difference?
Sarah.
Hmm. Now, Sarah was a mystical person, from what I've heard about her.
Louds.
Yeah. Let's see. There's two Sarahs in her life. Let's see, just check if that's the one you're, the one he married. Where is it? Sarah Dillon is, yeah, she's Sarah Lowndes, right, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so is she something special in his life?
No, but we had to get Levi, and the only way we got Levi was from this connection.
And don't Jonah. Mean that Levi is a person?
It's the grandson.
Oh, yeah. Let's see, the grandson.
No, this is what's important. This is the only thing that's important.
Yes, okay, Jesse Dillon, let's see who his son is. No Levi there. Well, maybe I'll just put in Levi Dillon.
That's Paige Dillon's son.
Right, Levi Dillon. Levi Dillon. 22-year-old grandson. Oh, son of Jacob. One of the Dillon sons Carol interacted with, but I don't know which one it was. It might have been Jacob.
That's Levi's daddy.
Right. And what is... He dabbles with acting and modeling. What's special about him?
You'll see.
All right.
And then there's Jonah.
That would be an uncle or a brother or cousin?
Cousin.
Okay, so they're important, you're saying, but...
Well, we're going to see. That's if what you're saying works out, if it works out, then we'll see. One is an $80 million thing, and the other is a $180 million thing. Now, this is an interesting thing. Now, your words are kind of glib, and this is a cliched archetype, but you did it, so we're going with it for just a second. We're not going to go too deep into it. We're going to explain it. You're saying that Dillon was successful. Dillon's not even going to be known if this doesn't work out. It's all going to evaporate. It's going to be gone. I don't want to work anymore in the time and I have to live. Can you sing that roll, scream, and thing? That'll be gone. Gone, Bob. Never, ever, ever. Better say 8 tracks of that one because it'll be gone. Never, never, never be. Unless Jonah, Lara, Dillon works it out. The details.
Jonah Sarah Dillon is a name?
Lara. It's that same person.
Jonah
Lara, which is also the other side.
How can one person affect another person so radically?
The same way you do. You don't take people's telephone calls and they kill themselves today, Bob. Stop laughing. That's not funny. That would be funny if it wasn't so sad.
Yeah, well, you know, I take care of most people's phone calls, you know.
But sometimes you just don't. You don't have to. See, that's the thing. You don't have to. You're not a pleaser, Bob. You're not a pleaser. That's okay, but that's the rub. There's a rub. So just saying, that's a point of connection, which is what you're trying to convey. And that's the thing. And so they cannot be. Literally, it can be a situation where they are not, and that's what we're saying. And you should be more guardingly aware of what you're talking about because you can have an effect on the affect. You can have an effect. For example, you did shit back with CKLN that molded this world in a really fucked up way. You didn't even know you were doing it, but you did it. That's why every time we turn around, when we get the chance to rub it in your damn face about CKLN, we absolutely take advantage of it. Just because we should, and it's good for you to be reminded of your deliciousness, sis.
Okay.
Is that right? Is that plural? Is that pluperfectly perfect?
It's perfect because just yesterday I bought a Dillon biography. It just came yesterday. I forgot. I just looked this stuff up
in
the book.
It's a big book. Is that the one we told you to wash?
Yes. Yes.
Good. Good. A big book that we told you to watch. Did you watch it?
Uh-oh, who's phoning me?
Better get it.
Oh, let me just take this for a second. Okay.
Steve.
Yeah.
Oh, we're still recording. We should put some good stuff in here. Let's hide something. Let's see. Let's do some Nostradamus while he's away. Can we do some Nostradamus? What do you think? Let's see. Nostradamus. Let me see. What can we do? Let's see. How about less prophecy or conversation with Nostradamus or the selected prophecies of Nostradamus? Or the lucky numbers, that might be fun, or the prophecy, or the reader, or three temporal keys. Yum, that might be fun. Kind of fun. The famous predictions. Hello, well, sorry, we'll be with you in just a moment. We're working on the 1555 books the books written in 1555 from Nostradamus. It's from the Insider. We have to give you the quotes, but we were doing that while you were there. You went away, and we thought, oh, no, we can't have dead air, so we went straight to Nostradamus from
Thank
the
you.
Internet Sacred Text Archive.
All right, I'm looking on page 400. It says, it's interesting, maybe let's just look at some Sarah Dillon. Let's just read a bit of this. Now, what's funny?
No, we don't have to. We sent you the thing in your inbox that you're going to accuse us of copying when we copied it later, that we put in the internet now. So it's going to be in your inbox then. So when you find it then, you're going to find it in your inbox to be for now, which was then that we said on the recording. The recording is going to be on there. Now there, you won't have to find it on your own. See, we're the perfect searchable engine. We've got your looky box down. We'll put in your looky box what we're going to say that you said that we were going to say. How cool is that? Now, you watch this one. This is going to be fun, because it's going to be Anomaly 101, because the shit's going to show up before we say it. Then you're going to find it before we do it. Our cloud is bigger than your cloud, Big Bob.
Well, what's interesting is that Bob Dylan got married again in 1986. On my father's birthday, June 4th, and he married a Carolyn.
Renee.
Renee is my father's name, yes.
Yeah, we'll be clear.
Yes. Now, what's interesting is that they divorced 6 or 8 years later, but in the Bob Dylan family world, they would be talking about Bob and Carolyn.
That's true. Of course.
How's that? Is that me influencing his being?
That's what we were putting in the recording when you interrupted us.
Aha. Uh-huh. So look at this. The Carolyn Dennis divorce,
we put in your inbox that you're talking about now, that you accused us of copying out of the internet from then, is in there now. Aha. Uh-huh. Isn't that fun? So now, not only are we copying out of the internet, we're putting it in your box before you bring it up. Mark the time, 1239. Tell me, that's the fun.
All right, so I've never read this book. Just got it yesterday, but apparently it's a very good biography. So it says he divorces...
Is that an oxymoron?
Yeah, they're divorced.
Turn to page 111. Turn to page 111.
No, I just want to read you a bit of this. The Carolyn Dennis divorce would immerse Bob in considerable expense for years to come. See, this relates to what you're talking about, the Sarah aspect, his money factor.
Yeah.
This was just a fraction of the cost he bore at the head of a large and growing family of two ex-wives, numerous girlfriends, 6 children, and an increasing number of grandchildren. Sarah Dillon, his first wife, continued to live in Beverly Hills, supported by her multi-million-dollar divorce settlement and share in Bob's royalties. She dated a number of men after divorce, including Bob's friend David Blue, who died in 1982 of a heart attack while jogging in New York. I remember the singer, David Blue. But she chose not to marry again. Despite press reports in the 1980s that Bob and Sarah were reconciled, and even considering remarrying, they were never really close after the divorce. Sarah lived alone after the children grew up, suffering from ill health and becoming something of a recluse. She had little contact with the show business community and cut a forlorn figure when she did go out.
What would you say about that? Was she doing something else that the media is not perceiving, that she was having a good time?
Yes, she was doing fine.
She wanted to be not covered, so she floated the idea.
No, she just made up all kind of crazy stuff so she could do what she wanted to do. She was fine. She enjoyed every minute of her life.
Right. So although Sarah
her
and Bob
Kitty
were not,
Carlisle.
She's like Kitty Carlisle?
Yes.
Yes. You're one of your favorites. Although Sarah and Bob were not close, they had made sure to provide amply for the children. The rich trust funds they established meant that the children would never have to work unless they wanted to. Thus assured of financial security for life, most of the Dillon siblings settled down at a young age, married, and started families of their own. Maria Dillon had always been set slightly apart from the rest of the family because she was older, but also because she had a different natural father. Now, you're welcome to interject anything while I say this. And I'll just read this last paragraph. It says, it is to Bob and Sarah's credit that their children grew up unspoiled by wealth and celebrity. Yet the children were obviously affected by the fact that their father was a superstar with all the craziness celebrity attracted, and by the breakup of their parents' marriage. By marrying young and building stable home lives of their own, they were surely reacting to these factors. Also, although the children talk of their dad as being an exceptional father, being extremely wise, very supportive, and non-judgmental about their choices in life, and although they always had regular contact with him, Bob was not perfect. No parent is without faults. No parent is without faults, but even to his own family, Bob seemed to be a driven, introverted, and insular man consumed with a monomania for his music. They loved him and were proud of his achievements, but he was undeniably difficult. Would you agree with that?
Yes, the one that they knew. See, there was two that they didn't know.
Well, we were talking about two. Now you're saying there's two others, so there's three?
Always, no, four total.
Right.
Endiades, Bob, Endiades, you know that. And that's ebbing and flowing.
Right. What do they think of the one that recently spoke about the Hell's Angel being him and dying? Do they have an inside information from him on that?
They can't embrace it because it starts. They don't really care if it'll mess with their money. As long as it doesn't mess with their coin, they don't care. And that's what's got to work out. That's the difference between $80 million and $180 million. That's your own point, Bob. Good for you. Glad you ordered that stupid-ass book so you can ask some stupid-ass answers to some stupid-ass questions. That's good. Bit, bad bitch in a stupid-ass way. Yeah, that's the one.
All right. What did he once met with Frank Zappa and wanted Frank to produce his album. This is when Dillon in the early 80s wasn't very good at technical stuff in the studio, so he wanted some better produced stuff. What did Dillon think of Frank Zappa? Well, which Dillon? We have to say which Dillon, right?
Well, the second one. He was just wanting what he could get. He didn't respect Zappa. He thought he was a dweeb.
a dweeb.
Do you know what a dweeb is? He thought he was a dweeb.
Yeah, so maybe other people will have can follow up on this topic, or we'll leave it. But that was pretty interesting.
Good.
I assume that he'll come around and check me out at some point. Personally.
Likely.
Because
so you
a lot
can
of
cuss
his
him out and tell him how stupid he was, and he'll like that.
Well, I looked like him at one point.
No, he looks like you. He looks like you.
All right. Could I
when
be? Am I an archetype? So that Mick Jagger and him are knockoffs of me, of my face? Could we claim
maybe
that?
Maybe. Your forehead is what's predominant from that side. They try to copy that. But, you know, it's sad. It's sad to be you, Bob. It's sad. Sad to be you.
I understand that. Yes, it's not fun for them to be me.
It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it. You're just capable. Others aren't. So that's all good.